In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we're preparing for two feast days. The Feast of the Transfiguration, coming up later on this week, and the Feast of the Dormition, which will be taking place a week after. So in a very real sense, we have a double celebration of how God works in our life. Today we have a gospel story and the epistle from Paul, which illustrates for us something very important, because it's something that carries with us. The gospel takes place after the transfiguration, after Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and after Jesus is transfigured before them. And in a very real way, the apostles are transfigured. They have now received the light of Christ. When we look into the sun for a long period of time, which obviously we shouldn't do, but when we do, and then when we divert our eyes from the sun, what do we see around us? The sun. That is what the transfiguration is that the sun becomes so much part of us that we see Christ in everything, no matter what it is. Christ is present. Christ is revealing himself. Christ is foretelling his suffering on the cross. And at the same time, he's foretelling and preparing us for his resurrection, in which we all share. The story of the boy who was possessed by a demon tells us something about what our Lord is calling us to not only be, but also the relationship that he wants to enter into with us. We see fairly frequently in the Old Testament God's exasperation, right, with us. And we see this illustrated in Jesus. This faithless generation, how long am I going to put up with you? How long am I going to be with you? This is not an exasperation that is pointing a finger at us, as much as it is an exasperation in a sense of love. He has so much to share with us. He wants so much to be part of our lives so that he can be in us and working in us and loving in us, being our everything, as Paul has talked about. It is not I, but Christ who lives in me. An illustration of how the Son becomes all-encompassing in our life, God's presence, presence of Christ, is with the first reading today. And once again, we're back to Corinth. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Corinthian mess, about all the factions that were taking place in Corinth at that time. And now Paul is addressing something else in Corinth, and that is the fact that they're missing the point on things. Just to give you a kind of a background of Corinth, Corinth was not some backwater village. Corinth was a very major metropolis. It was a port city, and it was a bustling type of place. It was a place where people would go to make a name for themselves, to make a buck, to kind of establish themselves and kind of starting new in their life. And so success was a big thing for the Corinthians, you know, to make it in this world. And along with that, we had also the whole ambiance of Corinth. Well, giving an illustration, when you would call someone a Corinthian girl, that person was a prostitute. So we see Corinth as having a reputation as well. It's kind of the sin city of that area. So we have Paul now being sent by Christ into this place. And you think, well, wait a minute, this is hopeless. The odds are against any kind of success. But Paul sees it differently, doesn't he? And Paul at first is kind of calling out the Corinthians, you know, because the Corinthians are going, well, you know, we have our honor. We have our reputation to uphold. We have our appearance to the world of looking good. We have to be successful. And look at these apostles. They're in misery all the time. They're persecuted. They're in poverty. They're defamed. And Paul's saying, yeah, we are. And he's saying, you want to have life? You're not going to have life the way you're having life. You're going to have life if you imitate me, because I'm imitating Christ. That's where you're going to have life. And we know that through the action of the Holy Spirit, Corinth ended up not being a hopeless case. In very many ways, Corinth became a converted city. People's hearts were changed, and people's hearts were turned to Christ through Paul. And we see this over and over again, of how Christ keeps urging us to trust in him. Sometimes I think he's kind of like shaking, you know, he's like, please, get it. I love you. I'm with you. Trust me. Trust me. That's the word of the gospel today. Even though the man humbled himself, going on his knees, Christ saying, please cure my son. At the same time, he's blaming the apostles when it didn't work. And Christ is saying, well, no, because you don't believe. You really don't believe I can do this. And the apostles are saying, well, how was it that we're... And obviously, Jesus teaches us something, too. If you're going to correct someone, take them to the side and correct them privately. And that's what he does with the apostles. So he takes them aside and explains to them. He says, well, yeah, but if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move and it would move. The mustard seed represents our expectations sometimes of what the turnout should be. And sometimes the results of what we do is like the mustard seed. We think, well, yeah, well, what of it? It's not that important. It's not that big. And our Lord is saying, whatever we do, anything in him and for him, it is big, because we are in touch with the infinite Christ, who is love and the Christ of power, and we're sharing that power. So how can it be small? With Christ, nothing is small. With Christ, everything is infinite. And he invites us into this atmosphere, this embrace, this divine embrace, calling us to union with him. And he's doing this every day of our life. And so, if we take this metaphor of the sun once again, our Lord has come to us, revealed God to us, revealed to us how to live. He reveals to us how we're being consoled through the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is teaching us all these things, and then he is calling us forth to be him. So, in a sense, we become a sun or reflection of the sun in the world. That's how the gospel message touched Corinth, this place, this God-forsaken place, so-called, because there was a receptivity to what was being offered to them, which was life at its full. And so when Christ calls us to believe, he's calling us obviously to believe our doctrines and what we believe in the creed, which is, you know, a foundation of our belief, of course. But he's taking us beyond our intellectual understanding of the faith and calling us then to relationship. And the beauty of this relationship is Christ, who is transfigured before us in all of his glory, in all of his brightness, brighter than the sun, all of a sudden, with this exposure in this relationship with Christ, all of a sudden, our whole life becomes sunspots of Christ, in a sense. And even the worst situations we get into, or maybe difficult people that we would encounter, and we can go on and on and on, we will see Christ in them. We will see Christ acting in any situation that we're in. And that means any situation that we are in, Christ is present. And that's why he's calling us to believe. Believe that, please. I love you so much. I want you to share. I'm sharing everything with you. Everything that I have is yours, that you may be one with me as I am with the Father. I mean, how greater is that? And Christ is calling us to this every day of our life in preparation for the life to come, in which we will experience Christ in a sense at its fullest. We will see him. So our faith then will become realized in the sense of our faith will become the realization of being in the presence of his glory, as the apostles were up on Mount Tabor. So let us pray today that also that we pray for the increase of our belief in Christ who is with us. You know, Lord, help me love you the way you love me. Whatever it is to call us deeper into relationship with him is the ticket, in a very real way, to experiencing joy in the midst of darkness. And so these days we're experiencing various forms of darkness. That's the reality right now. But yet Christ tells us, don't be afraid. And so that light of his, who is light, comes into our life in this atmosphere of darkness and transforms the darkness into light. And that's not just wishful thinking. That's the real deal. That's the real thing. That's what he does. That's what he does. Because when he rose from the dead, when he conquered death by death, well, that was it. God triumphed. He always does. But he showed us his triumph firsthand that we all share. And so let us commend ourselves, our spirit, our soul, our body to Christ this day and every day, and to bask in the presence of the Son. who nourishes us, gives us life and growth in him. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.
Amen.